Hey Chris, what's going on, man?
Nothing. Fatigue. Still not recovered, I would say fully from not having a Christmas break. I'm taking it a little bit harder than I thought I would.
What do you mean from not having Christmas break?
Like it almost feels like there was no break at all. Like
Oh.
having a couple weeks off, it just feels like, I don't know. We went right into almost into exam mode when we got back from the holidays, and it just felt like such a grind working up for that. So I'm looking forward to the semester switch. We flip over next week on Monday. So I'm looking forward just to kind of refresh my brain, because it's just, we touched on it the last time we talked, that whole thing about being a closer. And I was talking with Pam, my colleague, and it feels like we run the same marathon that the kids do in the end, just to try and help them get their credits done. And kids are shifting back to their home schools, coming off of suspension, off of expulsion. So it's a whole lot. Yeah, it's a whole lot. But I'm good. I'm healthy. I'm healthy. I'm in a good mood. I'm feeling the fatigue, man.
Okay, well, I understand the fatigue because just handed in my report cards
Oh.
yesterday, and then IEPs are due early next week. So it was interesting. I got home today and I had some time, and I thought it was time that I could just kind of do nothing, but that wasn't the case. I cracked open the computer. I started working on the IEPs because I've got a busy weekend with the family, so there's not going to be a lot of time to do it then. So I got to start doing it now. But I understand the fatigue thing. It's like you're running a marathon and you can see the finish line, you just can't get to it fast enough.
And I almost feel it's so wrong on one hand to complain. Like I get twisted up because I really dig my job. I think about the work that I used to do in the restaurant, and this ain't that. Like when I was knocked out from, working whatever it was, 60 hours, 65 hours, whatever it was in the week, just to push through some of the season, staff isn't showing up. I don't know. We had this thing, and so you'll get the example. I'm trying to figure out what the, okay, I'll give you the example. So in the restaurant, typically when I was running it, I would be there early. I loved the time before my staff showed up. I could kind of set my prep lists. I could kind of check out what the reservation list was going to be. I could have a coffee just in peace. It was sort of like my Zen time, right? And there's this thing. There's the 7 a.m. phone call. Now, the 7 a.m. phone call, in my context, prep staff started to come in at 7 a.m. So if I got a phone call, if the phone rang at 7, like none of my purveyors, none of the people, like my fish guy wasn't calling at 7 a.m. The boss wasn't calling me at 7 a.m. It was the it would be some of my staff. So, and the phones ring everywhere in the morning. They were set like that, almost like how some schools, when, I don't know if your school has this, but like when the caretakers are running the show, if the phones ring, they kind of ring in the whole school, so the caretaker knows to go grab the phone, kind of a thing. It was like that in the restaurant. So I could hear it from the fridges, I could hear it from the front, I could hear it from the bar, everywhere in the restaurant that I kind of checked and opened in the morning. So I got to tell you, when that 7 o'clock phone rang, it just sent shivers down my spine, because it's the exact wrong thing that should happen at that point. All I should be hearing is the back door opening up and my team coming in. Everything sort of business as usual. There's something about the exam week that feels like that 7 a.m. phone call. Like every day, I'm just kind of on edge thinking, is this the day that something's gonna go left or right or go strange? And you have the tools to deal. It's just like, you don't want to. I want a smooth day. I want to like close out easy. And I'll even remember, it's funny, the last week, the restaurant that I was at before I guess where I officially left and came over to teaching, I would say the last week of me working the restaurant was the toughest week I ever worked. It was like the restaurant gods threw everything at me, every possible sort of rejig and twist up of what could happen. Staff not showing up. I had staff getting in fights, running out of supplies. We made some mistakes on some of the parties. Like it was just everything. I was like, you just can't go quietly. That's what exam week feels like the last couple of weeks. Just like it's always on the edge, just always on the edge. So I think that's what's kind of worn me down a little bit. it's a total facade too, because it's not like I'm going to get the weekend. All of a sudden, I'm like, hey, ready to go the next semester, right? It takes a little while to rejuvenate yourself. But there's something nice about potentially getting a new batch of kids, some new faces coming in. Now, as I say this, I realize this couldn't be further from your context, because you are just now in the second half of your school year, and you are now staying with, I'm guessing, pretty much the same group of kids. You know, there's no gift receipt. It's not like you can't turn a few in and, you know, switch a few out here and there. You got to keep the same ones through. So I apologize for my complaint, but that's just that's where my head's at.
Well, it's your context, right? And our contexts are different that way, in that, you know, in secondary, you finish the term and then you get a new batch of students. With me, that's not happening. It's the same crew. Sometimes someone will leave, and then sometimes we'll get new students. But aside from that, it's the same crew. And technically, term one is not over yet. Term one will not end until next week when the report cards go home. So we're still wrapping some stuff up, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, with reports out of the way, IEPs will be done soon. And then there's a little bit of breathing space in terms of, like, nothing too big is happening. It's just rolling along and getting back into the curriculum that is supposed to be dealt with during the second term, and kind of keeping the kids moving. And it's kind of cool. Like, you know, nothing really changes except, well, nothing changes like on the outside, but on the inside, you know, there's lots of reflection in terms of kids like conferencing with their parents and with me about what they can do term two to improve or to change things. So you've got that kind of like, you have that freshness, you know, because there are some kids that will look at the report card or will sit down with their parents and come up with a plan on how to improve in certain areas for term two, or, you know, where they can tweak certain things, where they're doing really well, but they want to bump it up. And so you get that, but it's business as usual. The first day of term two is like every other day. In fact, you know, I've been joking with my educational assistants lately, and I've been referring to Groundhog Day often, because we'll walk in and, you know, we'll follow the same routine we've been following for 5 months. And there's always one or two people here and there that just walk in and look at you like they've never met you before. They have no idea how to get started with the day, or what it looks like when we're doing independent math, which is something, you know, we've got an anchor chart. We talk about it all the time. And yet, you know, things just don't seem to run as smooth as they should by this point in the school year with certain things. So I feel you in terms of the fatigue. I get it. It's kind of neat that we can talk about it, right? Because I'm gonna go back to talking about how when we started this podcast, it started a week before school started. And the flow of the podcast, I feel, is based on how we're doing with what we're doing at work. And so I think it's kind of cool that at this point, a lot of educators are feeling they're tired, they're run down, which is kind of weird because we just had a 2-week break. But it's, you get the break and then you jump right in and things have to be done. It doesn't stop. And so you just kind of start to feel that. And then I don't know about you. Well, I think I do know. In secondary, you guys don't have inclement weather recesses. So in elementary, when it's too cold out or if it's raining, kids don't go outside, and it changes the whole dynamic of the day because teachers have more duty. And when you have more duty, the plans that you made for the day, you know, at this recess, I'm going to get this done. At this recess, I'm going to make this phone call. All of that goes away because it can't happen anymore. You don't have the time to make it happen. And so, you know, today, some of my students in my TED Ed club, they came to me and they said, we were supposed to have a meeting yesterday, but it had to be canceled because of indoor recess. So what are we going to do? And I said, well, I have a little bit of time today at lunch recess. So, you know, go and tell as many kids as you can that we can have it today. And so it was kind of neat to see, like, almost all of them came because they're like starving for that stuff that we do in the club. But because of all the inclement weather stuff and me being away here and there, it just gets bumped. So anyway, that wears on you, right? Like winter, you don't think of winter as a problem time, but it is, because if it's, like I said, our school board has a policy. If it's too cold outside, then they'll only go outside for a little bit of the recess. And if it's another temperature, like if it's even colder, then they don't go at all. And so we end up staying in. And like I said, there's a duty schedule for that, but it takes up more time from all the staff members. And then you just can't do what you need to do. So that takes its toll as well.
I think you and I talked, well, I don't know when we touched base. This could have been even last year. You mentioned just the, you know, it's nice to have a little bit of downtime in your day, let the kids go outside, kind of run it out, scream it out, whatever they need, and they can come back a little bit more reset. And I can remember, I think, us having some sort of conversation like that, and then getting a text from you at some point saying, you know, I heard a deep, if you don't get a lot of audio on text, but I heard a deep sigh over the text, just, it's raining. And I right away understood the implications of the short text, just like, it's raining. I'm like, oh man, they're on lockdown. They're inside. Sorry for those of you who are listening, not lockdown in the educational sense, just lockdown as in no one's going outside today because of the weather. You know, and I think there's something, I don't know if you know this about secondary. So the exams, there's, I believe Education Act allots, I think, 10 days for your exam schedule in the year. And often it's divided between the two semesters. So you have 5 days of exam day in first semester and then 5 days of exam in second semester. And the way that runs is that the exams are typically in the morning, and then in the afternoons, we don't have any students there. Like, the students only come in for the exam and then everybody leaves. And depending on the length of the exam, or depending on whether or not certain students have accommodations so they get extra time or extra support, typically by noon, all the students have left the school. So depending on what time your school day ends, you have organizational time or professionally managed time in the afternoon. So that's been my week as well. And I realized there's some nuances to the exam week that maybe, I know I've never, well, you and I have never arrived at exam week in my exam week ever before. So it's fascinating that even during this time where you have downtime, there's a lot of hustle that goes along around there, because you're also probably mapping out and planning new courses, or, you know, kids still show up in the afternoon. They want to talk about stuff. I think there are some clubs that still have some meetings, though it's not mandated. There tends to be a little bit of break in between. For my particular context, it can be challenging sometimes, because students can be on suspension all the way through the exam period, depending on when they got it suspended at the tail end of the school year. And there's the potential that a student could be in some ways expected to stay in with us during the exam period, just working on courses potentially for another school. So another little kind of nuance there. And we you know, it would be completely normal for, you know, a student with us in what they call a placement. So they're just sitting there doing work as opposed to actually wrapping up courses. You got me, and there's so many, it's funny. I think in the first half of the season, we spent a lot of time, I think, pulling apart my context. And I love the fact that, you know, the questions that you asked, trying to get a vision of what it's like, you know, for my planning and for, you know, teacher guests to come in and cover, and, you know, the makeup of my classrooms are. But I've come to realize that I got questions about elementary panel that I don't think I've ever dropped on you. It's funny, because there's always like an assumption, both my spouse and I, we both teach, and both of us teach at secondary, and we're very familiar. Like we've sat, I think I mentioned to you this, we had a meeting with a principal who started to, you know, kind of speak to us as if we were parents. And then we responded in edujargon. And the look on the administrator's face was like, oh, wait, are you two teachers? Like we hadn't been formally introduced, right? So we're up on some of the language, but I realize there's some of the nuances of elementary that I don't get. So when you're mentioning about your duties change kind of on the fly, in a regular day, there's no 7 a.m. phone calls. It's all good. There isn't that call in the morning. You know, what does your schedule look like? So as far as that mandatory where you have to be specifically, let's say, in service to the students or teaching, I realize that there can be other meeting times and stuff like that, but like, do you have specific prep time? Do you have always the same lunch time? How does that work? Start with just like your day.
Okay. So this week, So I have 80 minutes of yard duty or supervision a week, 80 minutes a week. So this week I am outside every morning, Monday to Friday, from 8:25 to 8:40. So the first 15 minutes of the day when students are being supervised, I'm outside with some other staff members, and my job is to walk around the yard, supervise the kids, make sure they're okay. I like to walk around, talk to them, ask them how they're doing, and connect with kids that I don't normally see. So this week, Monday to Friday, the first duty of the day, I'm outside. That's my duty for the day. So at first recess, I don't have duty. My kids go outside, and I'm free to go do what I need to do. Lunch recess, during the eating time, and then the outside time, I don't have duty. So I'm free to leave my room and go do what I need to do for 1 hour. And then last recess, I don't have duty this week, so that means that I have that 15 minutes to do what I need to do. Now, my preparation time is every day from 1:05 to 1:45, and then recess is from 1:45 to 2. So if it's not inclement weather, then I have from 1:05 to 2 o'clock to prep and assess, evaluate, make calls, whatever. Next week, I don't have the morning duty. I have lunch hour duty. So Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I have 20 minutes of duty in my room supervising my students as they eat. On Tuesday, someone comes and relieves me, because if they don't, then that means I'll have 100 minutes in the week. And that goes against the collective agreement, unless there's an emergency. Like, I don't know if you know this about elementary, but I mean, we're pretty flexible in that if the admin calls us and says, listen, lunch hour supervisor is not here, there's nobody to come and relieve you, I'm sorry, you're going to have to stay. Okay. Like, I'm not going to say no and then leave the room, leave the kids unsupervised. That's the biggest no-no in elementary school that you could possibly do, is leave the kids unsupervised at any point in time. So next week is lunch duty. This week is outside yard duty before school starts. Planning time is every day. I have double planning time on Tuesday. So my students get music in the morning for 40 minutes. So that's an extra 40 minutes of preparation time for me, along with the preparation time I get in the afternoon. So then inclement weather, this is what it looks like. This week, because I'm outside in the morning, there's coverage at lunch. So the lunch hour supervisor, if it was inclement weather, the lunch hour supervisor would do 30 minutes. Then she would go and leave to her next class. And then there's a staff member in the school that has been assigned to my room to come and do the next 30 minutes. So I'm not affected by inclement weather at lunchtime during this week. But next week, I would be, because I'm on lunch duty, which means I would end up doing the first 30 minutes and then my partner would come and do the second 30 minutes. So let's say next Monday, it's freezing cold outside. It's above below minus 20, and my kids can't go outside. That means the kids will have to come into school from 8:25 to 8:40, but we have someone that does that. So this week, if the kids had to come in before school started, I would be in the gym with all the students supervising them, and it wouldn't affect any of the other staff members. But next week, that wouldn't affect me. So I'd be good in the morning when I get to school. I'd have time to prep and do whatever. First recess is supposed to be 15 minutes, but in inclement weather, it turns into a 20-minute recess. I do 10 minutes of duty, and then my partner comes over and does 10 minutes of duty. So I get 10 minutes to go to the washroom, make a call, whatever, get some water. Lunchtime, then I would be on for 30 minutes, and then my partner does 30 minutes. And then last recess, same thing. A 15-minute recess turns into 20. I do 10 on duty. She does 10 on duty. Now, normally that's not a big deal, but a few years ago, we were inside for 3 weeks. Like literally, I'm not joking. We were inside all day, every day for 3 weeks. It got to the point where like staff members were just like, you could just this look on their face. Like we'd walk in and we'd have to prepare ourselves for a lot more duty. And you have to understand, when kids are inside for recess, they're kids. Like they're as loud inside as they are outside, right? And you can tell them, like I tell them, listen, you got to tone it down a bit because we're inside. Like you can't run out there and you can't run over there. We're in this room and I've got room in the hall for them to do whatever, but the whole school just has this buzz to it. And it starts to wear on you because, you know, like, so I'll do the first 10 minutes. So I'll say to them like, okay, start eating because you have to eat. You can't just play for 20 minutes and then tell me after you're starving. Like that doesn't work like that. Take some of your recess time and eat. So you have to prompt them because they're so excited to be in. And then you leave. And when you come back, you got to basically scrape them off the walls because they're still so excited that you got to say, okay, listen, recess is over. So you have to pack up all this stuff. You have to change your mindset. We have to get back to work. We have things to do. And it's just not as smooth as when the recess bell rings and you go outside, you pick them up and you bring them in. That ritual's gone. It's a whole new ritual. And it wears you down. They love it. The kids, most of them, not all of them do, but most of them love indoor recess just because it's different, right? Like they get to grab board games and they get to sit on the carpet and play with their friends or whatever. And it's longer, it's 20 minutes, not 10. So inclement weather, that's what it looks like. Now you kind of know my duty schedule. I'm only supposed to have 80 minutes a week. And I'm lucky. Like the before school duty is a sought after duty because your duty's over right at the beginning of the day. And traditionally, you know, kids are pretty happy when they get to school in the morning. There are no conflicts, right? Like there's no time to get into fights. They just come and they're either happy to be there or they're kind of like, oh, I just woke up and here I am at school. So it's like, I greet them and it's kind of fun. The only negative about it is that if I have to be away, if I have PD or if I'm sick, an occasional teacher can't do my morning duty. It's there's, again, collective agreement somewhere in the rules. It says that that is a duty. Maybe it's not collective agreement, but somewhere it says that they get to school and they need to prepare because they just got there. So they can't get there and then find out they're going outside for duty. It doesn't work that way. So that's a little bit stressful because then I have to go around and, you know, ask people if I can make trades and that gets a little sticky. Like I know years ago, I would just make the trade. I just say to so-and-so, hey, listen, can you do my morning before school? And my occasional teacher will do your lunch duty. Well, one day there was an occasional teacher that was really upset, you know, because they thought that they are being taken advantage of. So I said to my principal, listen, somebody needs to step up and say something to this person. Like if you see that they're bothered and they're complaining, you need to explain that, you know, Chidiak has morning duty. You can't do morning duty. So he had to trade it and you're still doing a duty. Like it has to happen. So now what I do is I write in my plans. I just say, I'm on morning before school this week, and since you can't do it, you're going to room 13 at lunch and you're doing a lunch supervision so that my colleague can get outside for me. And I try, so I try to make it as transparent as possible. And it's, you know, last year I was away a lot for all kinds of PD, and so you're kind of making deals with people because you need them to help you out. I hope I answered your questions. I mean, it's kind of neat to talk about my job. I don't really get to. I'm still kind of mesmerized with your role. I still don't fully understand it, but I think one day I'll figure it out.
I'm just mind blown at all the little mini time slots. Like you're going, like I'm going to review game tape on this because my strongest memory of this last of your explanation just right now, because my mind started just like, I didn't know what to grab is 10 minutes here and then 10 minutes there. And then it wouldn't be 10 minutes, but then it could be 10 minutes. And then I split the 30 minutes and I'm just thinking all these micro slices. I can remember back in my last school. So I was branch president for a union. And one of the tasks that I had was to check the, so you get duties at high school, of course. And the way that it works is that on calls and duties are, well, your duties are assigned. You know, you could have hall duty or you could have calf duty. And the duties in themselves are never longer than 37.5 minutes. It's again, it's in the collective agreement, the amount that you can be assigned. And if, you know, I understand you're saying the flexibility that you're not going to leave the littles unattended. And it's just that I'm under the same OCT guidelines as well. Best practice, like you are there as the parent and emergencies happen. But I will tell you, I've also been involved in conversations where depending on who was supposed to pick up other parts of duties, it became really interesting in the conversations because some teachers are like, yeah, you know, like I just keep getting my lunch blown out of the water because so-and-so is not coming to pick up the second half of the duty, or there's some confusion or something. So, but the duties for us are just, they seem to be so much more straightforward blocks of time. And I get it. Your context is different, but it's just mind blowing to me what that, the coordination of that would look like. And I'm sure someone's got it down to a science or there's a program or whatever. Is there anyone that starts that? No, there's no, it's the big board, just like, you know, moving pieces around, make sure it's all balanced. Does anyone that is, so, you know, what one of the duties that I had as a branch president was I had to check those numbers and make sure that they were balanced in their assignment of duties and on calls. And there was a declining tally of the number of duties and on calls that you can be given. And depending on your context, like if you were a department head, you had a certain number. If you were a co-op teacher, you would have a certain number. If you're a regular teacher, there was another number for that. So there were all these tallies that I would do each month to make sure that it was nicely balanced and that they had enough. I was playing a part in making sure that there was enough left in the school year. So, you know, there was always some people coming to me and saying, hey, you know, Clough, like I keep getting hit 3 weeks now. I keep getting hit with I'm not getting to any of my prep. So then I would have to go back to admin and say, look, you need to have a look at this because some of the members they're getting hit repeatedly. I didn't necessarily bring the information back to the member, but I had the right to ask, why is this? Like, why? That was just the branch president. That was one of the responsibilities. Sometimes there were good reasons. Sometimes like, oh, we didn't realize, and it got switched right away. Is there anyone watching the numbers like that for you folks? Or is it just, you know, admin does it or one of the administrative staff does it? How does that work?
Okay, so I've been a union rep at my schools over time. I'm not right now, but what happens is the union sends out an email to all the reps and says, you know, by this date, please send in all your duty schedules from your school and also send in like teacher schedules so that they check them over to make sure that everything in terms of duty minutes are all, you know, legit, and everybody's getting their preparation time, and everything's working out. So they do ask for them, but you know what? I mean, if there's a problem, you call somebody or you talk to your admin. Like, you know, I, generally speaking, I've been very fortunate to have like good supervisors. They don't want problems, right? So, and like I said, there were, I'll throw another wrench at you. The, my partner for inclement weather is the special education teacher. And sometimes she gets called away and they don't give her an occasional teacher to come and do her stuff. So like last week she said to me, we were in the staff room and I was getting some water and she came in, she's like, I just want you to know that I'm going to be at a meeting tomorrow all day and I don't have any coverage. So if it's inclement weather, you know, I'm just letting you know. And it was funny because she was being very careful in talking to me about it because I think she just knows, like, I did a big sigh, like, oh, okay, well, thanks for letting me know. Like, at least mentally, I won't be standing at the door, like, waiting for you or calling your room and saying, are you coming? You know, and my administrator, so the next day, it wouldn't have been a big deal. I would have just done all the duty. Like I just would have stayed for the whole 20 minutes at recess. At lunch, I probably would have said to one of my EAs, can you just watch for 5 minutes so I can use the bathroom and grab my food? Like that's all I need. In those circumstances. And then last recess, same thing. Like, or I would have called somebody and said, listen, I would have called the staff room and said, I got to go to the bathroom. Can somebody just step in here? Just watch while I go. And then when I get back, you can go. I won't be long. But the times that my administrator finds out that she knows, she always comes down and says, I'm going to watch your class. You can go. And I appreciate that because I know she's busy and I respect that she is taking the time to make sure I'm okay. But again, when you do that, when you build a relationship with someone, you build a rapport, I'm willing to help out when anybody needs a hand because I feel like they would do the same for me. It's when you get into situations where someone might say to you, and I'm not saying this has happened, I'm just saying if somebody would say to you, tough luck, there's nobody to help with your supervision or whatever, then, you know, then it's like you have to have that tough conversation with someone who has all the power and say, listen, this isn't cool. Like, when do I get to go eat? Or when do I get to go use the bathroom? Like, these are things that I shouldn't have to ask to be able to get my lunch. I shouldn't have to ask to use a bathroom. But that's the reality because, like I said, you can't leave the kids alone. It's the biggest no-no ever. Like, it's just not going to fly. So it complicates things a little bit. And I've stood at the door waiting, looking down the hall, like, where's my relief? I need to go. Like, I need to go. I need some peace and quiet. Or I need to use the bathroom. I just need to go. And that's always fun because here's a funny story for you. So on, when is it? So yeah, next Tuesday when I don't have lunch duty, okay? The teacher that comes into my room to do that duty is the planning time teacher in the school. So she's the one that works with primarily primary students, and she's the one that takes them to the gym or teaches them art or whatever. So she's the one that comes in and relieves me. And she's not always on time. And so the one day, it was funny because I was standing at the door and the bell rung. My kids were sitting and eating and I'm joking with my kids. I'm chatting, but I'm waiting at the door because when she gets there, I'm leaving. I'm not messing around. I got everything I need and I want to go. And she's coming down the hall with a class. And I said to her, you know, like, I don't mean to nickel and dime you, but you're 5 minutes late. And like, that's 5 minutes. Like, that's a lot. I mean, maybe is there an emergency or something? The answer is no emergency. I'm like, okay, well, I want to go now. And she's standing there with 18 kids behind her, right? And I'm not being very collegial at the moment. So she goes, can I use your phone? I said, sure. So she stands at the doorway She's got a whole class of kids in the hall, and she's got all my kids in the room. She picks up the phone and she calls the teacher of the kids that she has and says, can you come to Roland's class and pick up your class because I'm on duty? And I can't leave his kids and I can't leave your kids. And it was funny because that teacher was on lunch duty. So it's not like they were losing out on any of their time. In fact, they had 5 minutes of probably wondering, where are my students? I'm here. I'm ready to watch them eat. So that teacher came up the hall and we had a good laugh, right? Like, I don't do that every week. I did it once or twice, and it was one of those days where I just needed to go. So, those things happen. And the time thing, everybody just knows their 5 minutes or their 10 minutes. And you can tell when people don't get there in time or are consistently late, you have those tough conversations. And it's a little bit easier to have them with a colleague where there is no power differential. You're on the same wavelength and you just say, listen, is there something I can do to help? Like, what's the problem? Why is it that you are always coming here really late on these days when I really need you to be here on these days? What's going on? And sometimes it's legitimate. Like, sometimes it's, well, so-and-so got back late and I couldn't leave. They got back late because they were in the office with the principal. They were in the middle of like something deep. I'm like, okay, I get that, because that's happened to me before. You know, I get back, I'm late, and I say, oh, I'm really sorry. There have been times where I've said to my duty partner, I've said, don't come back next recess, because I was so late to get here for my duty. Don't come back, because I need to give you back your time. And the only way I can do it is to cover your duty the next time it's inclement weather. And they've always been very appreciative of that. And they've always said, no, you don't have to do that. I'm like, yeah, I do. Because I didn't purposely come back late. This was my situation. And I don't even want to explain my position, because I feel like I'm making excuses. I'm sorry I didn't get here. Just don't come next recess. I will take care of the full 20. I took away time from you. I'm going to give you back your time. But when you start to do that and people get you and they understand where you're coming from, then you build a relationship. There have been days where, you know, my partners come in and said, you look like death. Go. And next time, just go right away and I'll come right away. You don't have to stay and do any time. But we're talking extreme here. We're talking like you're in for two and a half weeks. Nobody's going outside. You know, it's bad. It gets bad because you get into this like groove and you just need time and you're not going to get it.
I know for one of the, that happens as well. You sort of end up covering each other. Sometimes you have to trade duties and sometimes it goes back to admin. Sometimes it's just worked out among staff. There are other interesting times where, you know, there have been times where someone wasn't showing up and I would call down to the office and say, you know what, just call them off. I'm going to stay through. And you basically, and like I said, there's a finite number of duties that you can do. And I remember there was some instructors that managed to use up their duties like before the end of the first semester. It's just the way they kind of kept on cutting deals, or they kept on doing, you know, even where they were sort of saying to other people, look, I'll cover your duty. So you're kind of like getting a credit. So you knew you were still going to get duties in second semester, but then, you know, I could come to you, Roland, remember I covered three of your lunches in first semester, and you'd be like, oh, all right. And if you had, you know, decent connections there, you're paying, right? You pay afterwards. So I got, there's so many little nuances about elementary. It sounds familiar. It's funny. Like the way that you describe it, I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like that in secondary, but it's amazing how different that becomes. I think at secondary, at least from my experience, very, very strident in sort of holding the collective agreement line. To the point where admin, you know, if it's sort of like the the most times if a staff can't be mustered, then, you know, an administrator is coming down and covering the second half of the class, just coming down and taking care of it. And sometimes the staffing and coverages get so tight that inevitably admin has to cover classes just because of the budget, and there's not enough money to bring in on-call teachers from outside, teacher guests. There's no money left.
I got another good one for you. I got a couple, actually. One of them is about building relationship. And there have been times where my administrator, like, okay, remember when I, well, maybe you don't remember, I was sick, and I had to take like a whole week off. And I remember when I came back, I said this on the podcast or whatever, but I remember the first day I came back from being sick, I was still sick, but we've talked about this before, sick days and personal obligations.
Dude, and, that sick hung on. I was actually just thinking about how nice and clear and robust you sound. That was like, that sick hung on to you for a while. So yes, I do remember.
Dude, I'm thinking like seriously, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
6 weeks of just sick. And it just would, and I took 5 work days to stay home. The rest of it, I was working. And I don't want to sound like, you know, woe is me. I know there are many people that don't have sick days. I know there are many people that don't have what I have. I'm just saying, like you said, that sick hung on. And so the first day back, I'm at work and I'm in my room and people are coming in to say, hey, how are you doing? You okay? And they're like, what's wrong with you? Like I was red. I was sweating. Like it was just not good. So anyway, my administrator, she wasn't feeling well either. Like she looked like death too. And, you know, we were having this conversation for like the next 2 weeks. She's like, well, she's saying to me, did you go to the doctor? And I'm like, yeah, I went to the doctor. He said this, this, and this. And she's like, I think I have the same problem, but what am I going to do? She's like, I can't just leave the building for 5 days. That's not going to fly. And I'm like, looking at her, like, I get what you're saying. And then she even said, you know, like she would finish the day. She would make sure everything was safe and secured. She'd go home and she was done until she woke up and come right back in the next day. So, you know, we're just chatting, right? Like, and I'm doing my morning duties. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, but I'm dying the whole time. And so the one day the kids are eating, I'm doing something. I look up and it's one of the lunch hour supervisors. Something had happened down the hall and she went to the office and said, or a class was on a trip. And, you know, she's like, I don't have, where do you want me to go? And the principal's like, go to Chidiac. Just go and relieve him, give him some time. And she did this like 2 or 3 times that 1 week. And relationship, right? Like we were talking, she knows I'm there. She knows I'm doing my thing. And she knows I'm kind of suffering through it. And so she had some time and she gave me extra time. And she didn't just do that for me. She does that for lots of other people. When there's extra time, she gives it to the people that need it. There have been times where people have come and I said, no, I don't need it. Go talk to so-and-so. Like they're not looking too hot. Or I know for a fact they had a really bad morning. So they might need some time. They might need to make a call. They might just need some peace and quiet for a bit to kind of reset for the afternoon. And so relationship, it's key. We talk about it in everything. And so that's an example of a time where that connection, that relationship, that understanding that I will help you when you need it and you will help me when I need it, where it came into play. The second thing I wanted to talk about is worse than inclement weather sometimes is when you get to school in the morning, your administrator walks into your room. You know, and I know now when my admin comes in with a piece of paper and a pen, I know I'm losing my preparation time.
That's the 7 a.m. phone call. That's your version of my restaurant 7 a.m. phone call. And I bet you even get the little itchy, tingly feeling on the back of your neck. You might not even be facing the door. And you're like, something has changed in the force. You turn around, the admin is standing there. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I'll be standing. It happened last week. I'm standing there behind my desk, making sure everything's in order and she walks in. I'm like, hey, good morning. How are you? And she's like, good. And the way she's like, good. And she tilts her head and I'm like, oh. And so she says, I'm sorry, we don't have an occasional teacher for so-and-so. So I have to pull French and you're not going to get your preparation time today. And I always do that. And I'm like, okay, thank you for letting me know. And, you know, as she's slowly backing out of the room to make sure that I don't lose it or whatever, I'm thinking right away, it's like, okay, this was what I was planning on doing for my preparation time. I don't have that anymore. So I have to figure out how to make it work. What are my priorities for today? What do I need to make sure happens during that time today? Because sometimes it's luxury time. Sometimes I'm so far ahead that I'm like, okay, I can take this 40 minutes and I can do this with it, something that you'd never try to do in 40 minutes. But because you're feeling so ahead of the game, you're feeling really good and you're fresh, you take it on. On those days, it's like, okay, all that stuff goes out the window and it's like, what needs to happen today? What do I really need to do to make this day work? And I always try to make sure I'm good for the next day so I don't come in all, you know, discombobulated. So that's another one. Inclement weather kills me. And when your admin comes in and says, I'm sorry, I need coverage in two other classrooms. I have to pull this and I have to pull that. It's just, now, I mean, there's payback. Like we, you know, my administrator is very good at connecting with HR, whoever she's supposed to connect with, to make sure that we have a day picked out where an occasional teacher comes in and gives us the 40 minutes that we lost. So, I mean, they take care of it. They make sure you get it. But it still stinks because you come to rely on that time every day. Like when my French teacher gets to my room, I've got my gear and I'm ready to go because I've got stuff to do. And especially around report card time and IEP time and all kinds of like literacy assessments, you need the time to either prepare for it or to deal with it, to evaluate it, to kind of take a look and make sense of it all. So yeah, it's something. It's pretty cool. Like the whole thing runs smoothly. Like if the administrator wasn't in the building for a day and things hit the fan, we just make it work because that's what we do. We just make it work. And you know, a couple of times I've had colleagues call me and say, "Listen, I have no idea how I'm going to get such and such done. It needs to be done, and I don't know what I'm going to do." Okay, well, during this recess, send all your kids to my room and we'll have like two classes in one and, you know, I'll run it, I'll make it work and you go and do what you need to do. Like, we'll make it work. If somebody's really in need, all they have to do is ask somebody in the building. We're going to help them. I've never worked in a building. I've been doing this for like, what, 17 years? Nobody's ever said, no, I'm not going to help you. There have been times where people have been grouchy or whatever, but nobody's ever said, no, I'm not going to help you, right? It's just you have to ask for it. And for all the young people who might be listening to this, all the pre-service teachers or whatever, you know, there's always, I don't know if we can do this. I'm going to do it anyway. In every building, there's always the grouch. There's always somebody in the building who's kind of grouchy all the time, and there's always the happy, bubbly, go lucky person. Like there certainly are certain personalities that exist in, I would say, in every building that I've ever worked in. There's always somebody, right? And you just need to get to know everybody, and you get to build relationship and rapport. You don't have to be best friends with everybody, but you got to connect because you work together. You're all working with the kids. It's not just me and my kids. It's all the kids. I'm there to support them all. We got a new custodian on Monday. So our last custodian, he transferred to another school. We got a new custodian on Monday. And, you know, I saw him that day and I said, hey, how's it going? And we kind of chatted for a bit. And, you know, I found out what his favorite hockey team was and all these little things that you get to know over time. But I felt like it's the middle of the year. this guy's just been dropped in. This is his school now, and there's going to be no time to learn. It's just going to be go, go, go. So I thought I should connect with him and talk sports. He likes sports, I found out. So we started talking sports, and now it's neat. It's like the third day he's been there, and he makes a point of coming in every morning and you know, sticking his head in the door and saying, hey, how are you doing today? And that's what you do. You build relationships, and you make sure people have what they need to do their job.
You know, I think when you said about the relationships, that's when I observed my kids' school and the flow there. You know, the principal is involved in all elements all day long. I think it was partially, remember back in the day, me kind of hamming it a bit about Rod and I's are going mobile with his tech. It was something that what actually got me thinking about that first was just the difficulty it is sometimes to get in touch with the administrator for my kid's school. And I just thought, you know, in observing the administrator, they don't carry their tech with them all the time. They tend to be more hands-free, just kind of, right, where do you need me? Like, just jump in. And I think it was observing that work and the, how dynamic it was that I thought, you know, if there was a way to be able to, I mentioned something about like hospitals where you could just plunk down in the hallway and there's a computer there and you could do a quick email. So you'd have like these pods of tech in the hall. It was definitely that administrator that made me think about sort of like that, those types of tools so that they can feel like they're, because there's a whole lot of paperwork and stuff like that happens when they're not jumping in, you know, as the designated batter or whatever, right? So yeah, definitely the relationships. I think that might be one of the bigger challenges in a high school that are considerably larger. And the silos are a little bit more locked down, you know, because you really are divided across curriculum lines and grade lines and sometimes just philosophical lines. And so the rules tend to be the thing that rule as opposed to what you're suggesting, which is the connection. Interesting side note, I think there's four caretakers at my kid's school and they're all named Dave.
That's there's funny.
Yeah, it's either three or four. And the other day, my sons were leaving, and he says, yeah, that's Dave, and then that's Dave, and that's Dave. But that Dave, and I'm not really tracking who he's pointing at, that Dave, his real name is Joe, but he goes by Dave. I'm like, okay, so all Daves.
You know, I want to say that sometimes I go to the high school that's close to my house for PD. And I am always baffled when I walk into a high school now. Always. It's like I don't understand how high schools work. Like, I do understand, but it's just so crazy. There's like four administrators. There are people everywhere all the time. Like, so I get to the high school the last time I was there for PD, and I walked in the door, and when I walked in the door, it was morning announcements and prayer. So I stopped, just like everybody else. We're just kind of frozen there. And then after morning announcements were over, it was slow getting in the next set of doors because it was civvies day. The kids didn't have to wear their uniforms, but in order to wear their regular clothing, they had to make a donation at the door. So all these people are got money in their hands, and I'm looking around like, what kind of I have to pay to come in here kind of thing? And so I didn't get it, right? But anyway, I was a buddy then ended up beside me, and he said, don't just walk in. Like, don't worry about it. They're going to give you a funny look, but we're going to the office anyway. So it's not like we don't work here. We're obviously visitors, and we don't go to school here. We're not students. So we walk past like the gauntlet of teenagers collecting money, going to the office, and then it's like Fort Knox, like, hi, I'm here for this meeting. And they're like, really? Were you here for? And it's like, it's funny because as you're getting grilled by the secretary, you're seeing colleagues that you know, and they're walking past like, hey, buddy, how's it going? How are you doing? How's school at elementary or whatever? And the secretary refuses to clue in that you work for the system, right? Like, I'm wearing my name tag from my school, to show that I'm with the board. Anyway, so that's kind of funny because then they start calling the room that you're supposed to be in to make sure somebody can come get. It's just funny because after about 2 minutes, someone just says, just come with me. Do you have a badge? I'm like, yeah. They're like, okay, just come with me. And I'm like, but she's making calls. They're like, don't worry about it. So then you leave. And as I'm walking down these halls, there's all these teenagers and they're all just living their life. Like they don't even know I'm there, but the place is packed. There are kids everywhere, teachers everywhere, rooms everywhere. So I finally get to where I'm supposed to be. And it's like, I'm just happy I'm where I'm supposed to be because I'm not going back in that hallway, right? Because it's packed with students everywhere and adults everywhere. And anyway, so I don't know. It's weird to walk into a high school because there's the buzz is always, it's always there. Whereas in elementary school, after morning announcements and the day starts, generally speaking, the hallways are empty. There might be the odd kid floating around going to the bathroom or going to the learning commons, but generally speaking, it is pretty silent and the hallways are empty. Now, we're trying to change that, right, with the whole working in different environments and getting kids engaged in different parts of the building. But I'm talking, you come into my school and you see my kids in the hall doing whatever, then you walk into the local high school and it's 100% different, 100%. And to me, it was, I guess, it was an overload, sensory overload. And, you know, like I was walking up the stairs and there were like seven kids with their guitars and they were on the stairs playing some tune. And I literally walked through their concert. But it's one of those things where if I just stand there and wait, they're not going to let me go because they're teenagers. They don't even know I'm there. So I'm just like, excuse me, and just kind of like take the simplest path up the stairs so I don't kind of get too much in the way. But it's funny because the people who work there are like, hey, so-and-so, can't you not see there's an adult here? You need to be responsible, respectful. Whereas I'm like, I feel like I'm stepping on their turf. So I'm walking around doing my best to be invisible. And the people who work there are like, hey, Joe Blow, can't you see that we've got an adult here? Aren't you supposed to be respectful? So it's, and I'm looking at them like, sorry, you know, sorry to get in your way, but I got to get upstairs to wherever I'm supposed to be. So, it's interesting. What I would love to do is create a video about it, but I can't do that because I can't just walk around a school, you know, grabbing video footage without anybody's permission. And to get all that permission is just not going to happen. So it's kind of funny. That's my high school talk for now. And there is something about it. Like when I find out that I have PD at the high school, I'm kind of excited. Because I have friends that work there. So, you know, it's kind of neat to visit with them and just to see the place and to feel that buzz, even though it kind of, it doesn't scare me, but there's something about it that's frightening. It's not going to stop me from going. It's just a whole other world. It's a whole other world. I don't know how teachers do it there. I don't know. There's like a million teachers. You know, you're in one corner and people are in another corner. It's just weird. It's weird.
Yeah, coming into teaching, I never felt like there was a question, but there also wasn't much analysis either as to secondary or elementary. I think probably because I was coming in as a chef, that kind of led me to, well, if I'm going to be teaching any hospitality, that course really only exists at high school. Because there was at some point, I can remember the only sort of decision that I made when I got there was whether or not I was going to apply to Catholic board or public board. There was a moment there. And then it was like, the logistics, I'm going to have to reinitialize my Catholicism. And that just seems like I didn't have the energy to do it. So public board it is. I have a similar response when I go into our partner schools, the elementary schools that aren't my kids' school. I feel, wow, this is really regimented. Like it feels really, really regimented and stuff is just, I don't know. I feel like I'm on the clock. As soon as I walk into an elementary school, I feel like I'm on the clock and I'm on somebody else's time. Whereas I, you know, kind of going to my friend's high school, even going back to my former high school, I just, it seems the thing that you observe as a little bit of that freedom is exactly what I kind of enjoy. Like I can come in and I can sort of just wave at the office like, hey, it's Clefin. And then I can go up to one of the classrooms and kind of show up at a teacher's door. Like, hey, how's it going? They're like, hey, Clef, how's it going? Like you can, maybe that's just the thing you can do at high school. And I, you know, even someone listening out there, I'm not saying this happens at every high school. This is just my experience with the colleagues that I have in high school. There are some high schools that very much say you got to check in at the front, you get your visitor's pass. And like, but I'm Clef. You check in at the front and you get a visitor's pass. I'm like, okay, I'll get a visitor's pass. Mike, nice to see you. Like, you sort of, but they're very formal. So that exists as well. But the things that you're acknowledging as like, do I walk through this impromptu concert? I get the same feeling in the sort of like what feels like a very regimented experience at the elementary school. When I used to do peer mentoring and peer mediation with our partner schools. So a colleague and I from our high school would take a team of mature students over to the elementary school. And even though they had gone to that school previously, it really did feel like, I don't know, I felt, I felt like my student self again. Maybe that's the thing that I was tapping into. I actually felt like I was less powerful than I feel in my context. But I'll tell you something. If I go to the elementary school, I definitely, when I walk through the halls, like even saying hi to some of my kids' friends, I feel more noticed in the elementary system than I kind of do walking the halls at the secondary. It's kind of strange. And I think that might be a little bit of the Big River thing that you might have been feeling walking the halls, just like people everywhere, and you're just sort of, you know, kind of moving through there, and you're just, where's that door classroom, where's room 305, I got to get to room 305, and you sort of arrive and you're like, shoo, I made it. Look back out in the hallway and just the sea of bodies are going past the door at a constant rate.
I imagine it's like mini New York.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean, because they talk about, in, I've never been to New York City, I'd love to go one day, but they talk about how you're literally just squished on the street, and that's just the way it is. And when I'm walking in the hallway of a high school, that's what I feel like. Anyway, so I really like, it's neat how you feel the regimentation of an elementary school. And to you, that's, you know, it affects your senses as well, yeah. Right? Like just in a different way.
It feels opposite. It feels completely opposite. And I feel more sensitive and more aware, and I don't want to step on anyone. Like I'm kind of like all these little bodies zipping past me, right?
Yeah, so. I hear you. What's more fun is when you walk into the main office at prime time. So you've got a child may have just vomited on the floor in the office, and you've got kids that slipped outside. Now they have to go through concussion protocol, and the phone doesn't stop ringing. The phone's still ringing, and the admin assistant is still answering the phone, and there might be a child having, you know, having lost control of their emotions, and that's happening in the office as well. And you've got teachers walking in and out, getting what they need, but none of this phases them. They just step over the vomit, and you know, they walk past the spec ed teacher that might be dealing with a huge conflict with a student. Like it's like a market, except it's kind of like an organized market, and things are just happening, you know? So that's always interesting as well. That's my favorite part, is walking through the chaos to get to where I need to go to, like check my mailbox and then walk right back through the chaos, wave at everybody, say, hey, how are you? Hope you have a good one. And just go and do what you need to do next.
You know what? Mine too. It's just, I think how, It's how you and I each perceive our own personal chaotic sort of energy. Because I really dig walking the halls too. I really do. I love being in the halls. I love the opportunity to kind of help. When I'm in the halls, often what I'm doing is I'm looking for the opportunity, just constantly trying to set myself for the opportunity to help someone that looks like they really need it. I can't tell you how many boxes of Kleenexes I've ducked into a classroom. And just, you know, teachers mid-teaching, I'm like, yeah, I just need to borrow this. And I bring it right out to someone that's upset, or someone that, you know, maybe a bleed, like just that sort of quick triage kind of a thing. So, yeah, I really dig I dig being in the halls. I enjoy the transition. It can be tough sometimes getting from place to place, especially when all the bodies are the same, almost the same size as you, right? But I dig that energy for sure. I do.
You know, before we sign off, I just want to note that it's kind of weird doing this midweek. And it's what's really strange is that we're coming off a weekend where both you and I kind of weren't available. And now we're rolling up to a weekend where I'm not available. I don't know what your schedule is like. What's funny is last week, you know, it's getting closer to Saturday. And I'm just waiting to drop you that text that says, buddy, I've got things going on like crazy this weekend. But you hit me first. You texted me first and said, this isn't going to work, I don't think, because of this and this. And I'm like, I was excited. I'm like, okay, good. I'm not the one that had to change the plans. Clough did it this time.
Yeah.
And then this coming weekend, I'm the one who's really busy. So I'm glad that we could still get to it midweek.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I prefer the weekends.
I like the Saturday. I like that slice, but I totally get, yeah. Last week was just, I wouldn't say it got out of hand. There were too many little moving pieces. And sometimes, maybe you've experienced this before, you kind of go at it with your organized mind. You're like, I can make these all work. Mm-hmm. And you realize the energy that you're putting into it, it ain't worth it. Just kind of let them fall where they are and let stuff, like I said, the reaching out to say, I can't make it work this weekend. And I felt bad because I enjoy the conversation, but I also knew in telling you, you and I came at this as fathers first. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing here, right? Like, we can be this and we can do a midweek, and then we can also say, who knows, maybe something will pop up and we can have a convo this weekend. But we've also proven that we can make time just to hang out when we need to. So yeah, we'll touch base on the weekend. We'll see what happens and we'll see if we can make it work. But I think that's what's the beauty of this little reflective pursuit that you and I are doing is it's got to work for both of our schedules, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thanks for another great talk.
Yeah, man.
I enjoyed starting with fatigue, and now we're ending. We're ending with, I don't know about you, like, I'm tired because it's late, but I'm feeling better that we got to time to reflect on what's going on and about, like, today, you know, today was a little bit of the elementary flavor, you know, inclement weather duty, the ins and outs of, like, my week at work.
So many little time slots. So little mini time slots.
Hey, we even got to throw in tough conversations and relationships in there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Landed on there. I like that we're kind of rolling it around like that. So until next time, enjoy the rest of your week. And I hope that the next couple of days go well.
For sure, man. Thanks for chatting. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, take care.